Harvey Oswald.
Yes, Jack Ruby. What the hell is that about? I haven't worked the details out of that.
And then also Shakespeare. You were giving the words to Shakespeare? Or
everybody.
I
founded religions. Every cultural artifact came from me. That's what came out of that session.
So you're bigger than O'Snell. You're bigger than Bob. You're bigger than what we know.
Yeah, who was I saying? I was talking about somebody, and I said, Enoch. I was going on explaining who Enoch was. I said, he's a piker compared to me, Bob. I mean, Ion. Yes, Enoch was minor, and Ion agreed. Yes, but Enoch is pretty good on the Apocrypha, on his E.T. experience. And I know who he is today. It's amazing who he is.
Oh.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we can't say. It really is important not to say who he is.
Wow.
And that is actually a good clue to who Enoch is.
Wow. That's an update, because you had that debate with Enoch back in the rewrite.
No, that was Elijah, I think.
Ezekiel.
Right.
Ezekiel or Elijah, get them mixed up.
You were pissing Ezekiel off,
Yeah, he was. And we found out later he was alive, so he was a New Yorker homeless like I thought he sounded like.
Oh, but you got information on Enoch, then that's big. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a way, Enoch has a vested interest in our success.
Mm.
You know, he taught. Oh, I think it said Enoch. He describes a lot of what Iondom and Dobbstown are doing in the Book of Enoch.
Mm.
And the guy who made a modern translation of the Book of Enoch in 1973 was the close friend of Alan Steinfeld on my birthday party. Forget his name, but
Hertog.
We've talked about him before.
Hertog, J.J.
Oh, yeah, Hertak. That's right, J.J. Hertak.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be neat if we could tell him if he'd just come in? We call it the Robin route. Look what happened to Robin. She fucking shut up after a while. And then she ended up saying, this is brilliant poetry. This is the most amazing stuff ever. That's not what she was saying at first, but something happened to her.
She started listening. She started listening.
Yeah.
She started listening to Gene.
Well,
and Gene used that old nature stuff. I live with horses and dogs and cats and chickens. I'm Mr. Nature Woman.
I was scratching her under the ear. I was petting her.
Yeah.
I was scratching her under the ear. Yep.
You knew what to impress her.
Yeah. Come back. We'll see how long it takes her to come back.
It would be,
She's going to be so shocked when our Coldplay is out there and she's there working with these other idiots over there trying to get excess heat.
Yes, that's why she should be here, Bob, for goodness sake.
Yeah. She doesn't understand the problems of bringing it forth. I mean, Ian said the coming forth of Coldplay will cause World War III, for fuck's sake. Or it will be part of the same timing. Probably Ian would change the word if you asked him.
But she answered my question earlier, and I was hearing her tone. I'm like, she's not on the prolix. You can hear, something I sensed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, she's not on the prolix. Because she referred to them as vitamins. I'm like, yep, she's not on the prolix.
No. She did take the drops for a while, but that's 10 years ago.
But Bob, re-listened to that Jack Ruby and Lee Harvey Oswald, and that is probably one of the most outrageous things for me to hear Ion explain. Because I still couldn't follow it. I'm like, wait a minute, Ion,
Yeah, how's that happen? And remember, you look at my diaries. I am in the office of J. Edgar Hoover in 1954, and then around the time of the Kennedy assassination, and he was one of the architects of it. So I am you know, in my memories, my diary memories, linked in with Hoover a little bit. And I told him why he thought he should kill Kennedy. I say that right in the diary. And then I become more involved than I realized. You know, I somehow became Jack Ruby.
Well, Bob, you say you've got that statement in the diaries where you were on the lawn and jumping the car or something like that. Let me go.
No, no, that was with David Ferry it. 2 years later, driving down Fifth Avenue or something. And
no.
We were playing we were playing a song on the radio. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember saying I was on the lawn. Is that?
I'll find it because the first thing I thought of. If you were, because it was almost like you were Jack Ruby.
Yeah, watching,
you know,
and waiting for my turn. I was going to go over to the movie theater and meet Oswald later that day.
Well, and then
here
Jack
it is,
Ruby
escapes in a car.
Phone. Go ahead.
Escapes in a car with the assassin from Dealey Plaza. November
22, 63.
November 22, of course, 63.
And I'm sitting there
Dallas.
In the car with the assassins, the Grassy Knoll assassins?
Bob jumped into the car as the assassin ran back from the fence and got in the passenger side. They headed
for
a house on the outskirts of Dallas.
Amazing.
So
what I forget, see, if I was fucking Jack Ruby, there were so many other versions of me running around, I could claim ignorance of that one.
No, read the sentence again. Bob jumped into the car as the assassin. Ran back.
As the assassin.
In the past.
No,
yeah.
As the assassin comes over.
Yes, I'm posting it, but still, as the assassin. It's right there in your notes.
And it says period? I think it says, as the assassin comes over. I'll have to look that up. I don't trust your perception.
I just dropped it in chat.
You're drunk, as usual.
But if you drop the last part of that sentence, it says, Bob jumped into the car as the assassin. If you drop the rest of the sentence. If you drop the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you
that's
did.
Just, but
if
it's
you
a perception.
Did, but,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so
if you did.
I like November 27th in Dartmouth. I'm hiding out in Dartmouth, and it says Bob swept up Crichton Park Road, swaying and melting to Garnet Mims' "Cry, Cry, Baby" on the car radio. Dobbs was happy also because it hadn't been too much hassle. Getting it on the charts. I got it on the charts. I made Garnet famous. North America really needed it. He saw Randy coming out of number 25, so he slipped to a stop. And I say to Randy, "Hey, you don't look well." And Randy goes, "Well, I had a fight with Mike last Friday night at a party over at Steve Tanner's." Now, that was the night of the assassination. This high school gang that I was watching, the tensions caused a fight among friends. And then I said, "Oh, the night Kennedy was killed. There was a lot of fighting that night, especially in Dallas." And I guess I took off. But if I look at your saying, November 22nd, Bob jumped... No, see, you got it wrong. Bob jumped into the car as the assassin ran back from the fence. It's not me as the assassin. If I said if I was the assassin, it would be running back.
Isn't
that right, Nan?
No, I know, Bob. I know.
Yeah.
But
so Bob jumped into the car as the assassin ran back to the fence and got in the passenger side. That means I was driving the car. And that's highly suspect.
No,
I never knew how to
driving.
Fucking drive a car, really. So
no,
why would they pick me to drive the fucking car?
No,
this is bullshit.
You weren't necessarily the driver. No, you just jumped into
the
car.
Passenger.
It doesn't say
passenger.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, jumped into the car as the assassin ran back from the fence and got in the passenger side. They headed for a house on the outskirts of Dallas. Yes, I know that house.
And
you know what happened to that assassin,
me.
Gene? Later that day, that assassin was killed. They double-crossed them all. There was two assassins, and they both were killed within 24 hours.
Well,
the
also,
assassin who was unknown, you mean, Bob? The assassin
who remained unknown. Yeah, yeah.
Except in your private session, it said that you said, so what you're saying, people have to deal with it in their own way, but you're saying the fact is Bob was involved with the Kennedy assassination and shot Lee Harvey Oswald, and Ion said, you shot JFK, the clone, yes. And then you say, I shot JFK also something, you know. And Ion said, the clone. So you shot a clone.
Then, I'm saying there that I shot JFK?
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
The clone.
Ion's saying that about me.
JFK.
And then he says, I killed fucking, it's like I was the only guy busy that day.
Okay.
I was killing everybody.
And then you had to kill Lee Harvey Oswald.
The next day.
Yeah, right.
Because he wasn't involved, Ion said. Yeah. And therefore, he could talk because he wasn't guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
so
boy.
There may be more involved. There may be more. Ophanel's more than one. You know, maybe more than one person.
Oh, yeah. Pindiades.
Here I am going out. I'm shooting Kennedy, then I jump in the car, and we go to the house, and then I get back the next day to kill Oswald. Holy shit. Again, we're talking about me once more.
Killing people.
Yeah. And, you know, the clones, see, the aliens were involved. That's the Ophanel part. I'm very involved with the Kowathanites all through history. That's what's going on there. They set up that assassination for some reason. Are you getting that, Bert? The Kowathanite Ophanel involvement?
Yes. Yes. But, you know, going back to Ion's statement about you and Jack Ruby and Oswald, I could follow the Jack Ruby, but then when he said, yeah, Bob, you shot Oswald and then you shot JFK, and I'm like, okay, I don't understand that part.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they lost me.
But I can understand if there's more than one me or if there's the alien involvement and Ophanel was doing it. Remember that in my second Guffey interview, I black out in 66. It's too much for me.
Mm.
I talk about it with Guffey, and I don't know what I am when I recover from it. Anyways, it doesn't help our cause any. Any strangers listening to this are saying, why are these people talking to this Bob guy? Who's saying totally stupid things.
Wait, I don't remember the Duffy blackout. Remind me.
Oh, you missed that night. That was an important night. Linda's an expert on that one. She went and studied that in depth. Right, Linda?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember a lot of what you said.
Remind me. Maybe I don't remember it.
Okay.
It gets blocked. People can't focus on it. They miss it. They can't absorb it.
Yeah. Part of the confusion is that you have no idea and you can't explain it.
Right.
And Ion wasn't all that helpful in trying to explain it either. So I
later.
Never felt
See,
like
that's.
I got-
That's in 2003. That's before Ion. Did I talk to Ion about it later?
I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you were doing your journalistic investigation of the Guffey incident.
Right.
Oh, and Ion made it much clearer, Linda, then, right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't clear at all. And I don't think I didn't feel like I got anywhere with it.
Well, these are good incidents that we call anomalies that are there to put your mind in check. Because if you're just thinking normally and within known realities, you live inside your mind. And that's a deception. That's a fall. So you've got to have these eurekas that are incomprehensible to shock you out of your the rut you're in.
And you're referring to the eureka you had with Duffy? Or what are you referring to there?
What's the eureka? Oh, no, the confusion. It's not really eureka in a
okay.
positive sense of clarity. Your mind is stopped, like Bert. Bert had a rupture there. His mind can't think through this occurrence, and that's useful. That gets us out of the rut of
certain specific things. It feels specific sometimes, things that just don't get retrained. It feels like you said, that's the Duffy one. People retain the memory of it. If I don't know if.
No, they don't.
You know,
they don't remember.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd heard it before and need to just be reminded of what you're referring to, or if I ever heard it at all right now.
Well, you just go to the, it's called the Death of the Matrix interview. And, you know, halfway through it, Guffey brings it out of me somehow.
Okay. Yeah, I'm vaguely remembering.
And Guffey said years later, when he wasn't talking to me anymore, he said to somebody, and I heard about it, he said, people should read that interview. I figure out Bob, or I solve the mystery. He didn't say what it was, but I'm sure it's that part.
Yeah, Paranoia Magazine.
Yeah. So, Bert, so you're stuck. Your mind got blown up. You have no homework to go into because your mind got aborted with the JFK clone thing.
Actually, Bob, I'm quite exhausted from my hike yesterday, so I'm a
end
right now. So I'm a little bit. Oh, but, you know, I started to read. Hold on once. We were just speaking about your article, and I started reading it.
What, just now?
No. This in the last 2 weeks, the synchronistic linguistics.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
And that's Guffey seeing, you know, the black woman, the black oracle, and Morpheus. I was talking about the Morpheus generation. There were all these little catchwords and themes that were in the movie that only I could be identified with it. Because I said a lot of them in passing.
Yeah.
Then we're waiting for the third movie to come out, I think, a couple years later. And that's when we just got talking on the phone. And then he transcribed the discussion. It really wasn't a formal interview. And the previous one was not a formal interview. It was just him remembering everything and writing an article about it and sending the article to me and Carol. And then we liked it. And then Joan published it. But that's his thoughts. I never said synchronistic linguistics or those phrases.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't finished, but I started reading. I'm like, wow, he's the one thing that jumped on me, where was it? He says, just there. You said that he says, Dobbs maintains the Pope is the Antichrist.
Wow, that's Babylon.
Yeah. When I started reading this, I'm like, boy, there's a lot of threads of what you said that have come through. And when I read that about the Pope being an Antichrist, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, but that would be based on Herbert W. Armstrong, who's the Holy Office. And I would not make it that simple, because the Antichrist is partly the general that survives a war injury and then takes over the world, and they have 3 years of success, and the Vatican works with him. So it's part of the Antichrist. So, you know, I don't know what Guffey heard me say that.
Mm-hmm. But now
he's writing the article before he even knows me. You know, so there's a lot of guesswork.
just now, just thinking about having listened to some of Herbert W. Armstrong's sermons, Ion just validated something that I recall him saying. He mentioned something about the Catholic Church in Babylon.
Yeah, he says the Catholic Church is Babylon.
Yeah.
So I bring that up on the new private session because he talks about Babylon in 614 B.C. or something. Yeah. I said, well, the Catholic Church is Babylon, not Babylon, Babylon the way you're talking about it. He said, no, no, this is many years earlier. So Ion suggests that the Babylon goes through different fronts. So there was the Middle East Babylon in 615, 614, and then there's the modern-day Babylon, which is the Catholic Church. But the rest of you are being too quiet. You're not contributing enough.
I thought it was interesting in your private session that the stop codons and the double helix strand paragraph, I think that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Of how he described it. I'm not, you know, I'm not into the pollen arrays and mitochondria, you know. I kind of know what he's talking about, but just to think that 144,000 can fit into one cell, that's just amazing to me.
Mm.
But that was good information, new information.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Robin had a sane response. Ion sounded childish, ridiculous, and silly most of the show.
Yeah.
That she heard.
Yeah.
Bob, I've listened to I'm working my way from 2009, and I started listening to you January and February 2010, and I don't recall which one, but there was a reference when you all were speaking about the Queen, where Ion said that the Queen is well-tuned into her non-physical.
Yeah.
And just the whole, it's just fun to go listen back to those old private sessions. It's almost like something that you and Roxana were covering, that you would be in the room and you would be monitoring everybody that come through the room to ask some questions, because the knowledge base of your questions, to hear those questions, it's unbelievable the amount of knowledge you have to formulate your questions when you're asking Ion back in those early days. It's just, it's mind-blowing for me.
Right, so the Queen is said to be tuned in her non-physical. Ion says that very early?
Yes.
Yeah, and then now she's got more of a conflict because all the old Illuminati are in trouble right now. They've got a surprising new scenario, so it would make sense that he would say that 10 years ago. And not so much now. She's pretty tuned in, but she's got a lot of issues that are bothering her. She doesn't have the slack she had 10 years ago. So that's a good sign of what's happened.
Yeah.
Since the salad days of 2010.
I'm looking for which session.
But, you know, Allison is being a fool. Linda Renee's a fool. You don't say anything. What the hell? Why be so passive? Why be parasites? Got to get active.
Well, I'm trying to find my notes on the whole thing with that we were just talking about your experience when you were a teenager. or when you were going into the body
of
a teenager.
Yeah, it was a teenager.
Right. Yeah, and I'm reading the Duffy article now, so that's why I'm not talking. I'm getting refreshed on what you said in that interview about not remembering that you just became these teenagers or running around like teenagers. You
right.
say that was a weird time where we were running around Dartmouth and appearing to be young and high school people, and people thought we were these two other people. And they disappeared,
yeah.
and we're there. And then we disappeared. Then we're
yeah,
by
that's
the time,
all crazy.
And then it just all gets... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all crazy back then. I can see why I would have suppressed it all. It didn't make any sense. So now, after 12 years of ION, it actually could make sense what was going on back then.
Yeah, you didn't have a way to explain it. You couldn't explain it back then, but you could... Come
I could
up
do
with
it
an
now.
Explanation now. Yeah.
Yeah, I could get close to having been brainwashed by ION, both
and you
the
said,
name of ION.
You said, I don't know, it's such a mystery, something, well, wait, RG asked you, so the body you were born in 1922 is not your body now? And you say, I don't know, it's such a mystery. Something weird happened in the late 60s. But I think that's because we had a singularity with Rai turned to essence. And we don't know
right.
what the fuck happened.
Yeah, that's the way, and I meet Worcester in 66, but really in 69 is when we go out there and hang out with him. And he explains the Rai stuff. And so then I thought about the Rai thing, interpreting what he's saying for the next 40 years. By the time I'm talking to Guffy, the Rai return to essence would have caused a lot more warping than we recognized. Because that's a dramatic point that made sense to me, that happened. That was what happened to me. Just a minute, Carolyn's doing stuff. That's what happened to me. That was my reaction. And then if you go back, that I was Ophanel and actually was a kind of Rai, no wonder I was personally affected by it. And nothing I ever did had no purpose within the story. So I meet the guy who explains Rai. Of all the people on the planet, I meet him, Dave Worcester. And he has a crazy story about return to the plane of essence. Like, nobody would think that reality had changed like that in that period in the late 60s.
So did you hear Worcester give that explanation of Rai turning to before or after you essentially became teenagers or had that experience?
Oh, it was like, after. That's in 66. That's in 66. And then we go to... California, and then we come back, and then we fake our intelligence work, we hide that, then we go to Montreal. That's 68. So that period, 66, 68, is when this is happening, and I then get this explained to me in 69 when I meet Worcester in Seattle.
Okay.
So I didn't relate it, probably didn't even remember what happened to me, but over the years, eventually you remember everything. If you sit around like me and not getting distracted too much. And so then I by the time Guffy, I can say that might have been the effect of Rai. Now I got a lot more things to think about all of it in light of what Ion has added.
Right.
Like I had
right.
no thoughts about the Jack Ruby Kennedy thing. What am I supposed to think about that? So that's just something Ion said. I don't have any explanation. Maybe naturally I'll ask questions or I'll say something that'll make me ask something in 6 months. I'll just wait till it gets clarified.
Well, yeah, that reminds me of the different JWs and the experiences that have been shared about the, you know, like when JW climbed the wall to fix a light or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, another JW had no recollection of that happening, but his family saw it happening. And
yeah, no, not that. That was the burning down of the lawn. That's
well,
what
somebody. Oh, that's yep. There's an example.
Yeah, that's of that's April 22nd, 2010, when Sasha had a private session, and I JW wasn't acting right because he was in New York or another version of it was. Then the next day they found out the stuff had been burnt, and the JW there said, "Yeah, that happened on Thursday." So
it was a different, so they were different JWs, and so maybe in your experience it's a different Bob, but...
Yeah.
But
we all have many selves.
Right.
But in a way, Ophanel was the original separateness. He separated himself from Alpha Centauri, went to another place, created a game like Thoth and the Emerald Tablets, you know, was above it all, and then manipulated people, and then had the fall, and then now come to the resolution of the fall. No wonder I was affected when Rai returned to essence, which could be just Worcester picking up on the Ophanel story about now, you know, because we don't know what time anything coming through non-physical is actually.
Yes, that reminds me of something else, because we... When Ion talks about the right hand of God, my tendency is to picture, you know, God and the throne and a seat on the right hand. But if God is each one of us, so you as Ophanel God had a right hand. You know, we each have an empty seat to our right waiting for, what, our little man part coming back?
Right.
So... That's, this could be, there's no time, so this could all be part of that process. Now, is Ophanel the representation of the part of you that remains ascended or something? And then
yes.
There's, you could see that as the Ophanel as the OA, the original Bob.
Right.
And then,
and now Carol was reading, she's going back to all the private sessions, she's now at Sasha's notes on the angel diagram, so she's going to be doing that for next little while.
Oh, excellent.
But he said at that time, she said, it says here that JW, number 7 and 6 died. You know, there's 12 JWs and only 6 left. And there's a reference to it in what she's reading on 7 and 6. And that's, and I go, that's 2010 or so. I think that's what she said. Okay, she's talking. It's in 2020, and this comes up, and there's only 6. And that was around the time JW, that's right, JW was poisoned. And he may have been killed, well, not the night that Trump survived COVID, but there were other attempts on JW. He didn't survive a couple of them.
Right.
So that's why he lost. So by 2020, there's only 6 JWs left out of 12.
See, that's another kind of representation. It almost sounds like there were more than one JW in the hospital at Emory.
Yeah.
And not all of them walked out of the hospital.
Right. Yeah, they died. Several died, and then when I'm talking to Ian about it back then, he says that JW revived. And I said, how could that be? And then Ian said, well, there were some alien doctors in the mix there, so they did it. And then later he said he didn't survive.
Mm.
And then so there were less, they had to get it. Of one of the other JWs to be on the table there and take over, become the active one when he recovered. So if the Deuteronomy is about all these cells creating new humans that weren't necessary, 7 billion, then that's a pretty complicated scenario. And you can see the proliferation of human people would cause all this crazy stuff of people having more than one self.
Yeah, on chat. Branch out.
on chat, Ion said, okay, Bob, shut up. Talking shit.
I'm telling too much. And it's starting to make sense. I don't know what he's protecting us from. Look, he said, yes, Bob, correct. He says I'm correct. When did he say that, man? When was I correct?
2 minutes ago.
Yeah, right.
What'd you say 2 minutes ago?
Is that recent? It's recent.
About JW. Yeah, about JW. One of them lost. Yeah. And then...
Okay, Bob, shut up. Talking shit.
You. trying to protect you. Yes, yeah.
Oh, what did Loy answer? Oh, yeah, here. Okay, so she gave an answer. What is this?
Still, yeah.
I told the scammer that their grammar was appalling, that Loy was far smarter than them. I've had no more messages since then, Loy. Thanks, Phil. Could you explain this to Keto for me, please? I don't have access anymore. Oh, then all that JFK stuff is Gene. So what is he supposed to explain?
Well, go farther up, Bob. I'm not sure. 36 minutes ago, Loy says, I was hacked on Facebook and I don't have access to it anymore. The tech body took over my Facebook. And I'm not sure. Oh, wait, there's more. Keep going up because she says, I'm only on the chat. Might have been when you called out to her. Okay.
Well, 38
42 minutes ago. Okay. So then Phil says, hey, Loyette, I got a messenger message from you last week using your ID. Judging by the awful grammar, it was obviously a scammer. And then Loy says, I was hacked on Facebook, what I just read before. And then Loy says, so all my Facebook friends are getting fake Facebook messages or messenger from whoever took over my Facebook. Don't reply to any Facebook messenger from me. And
how many minutes back? Where's the minute mark of that? How many minutes?
If you have your chat preferences set up to see it, it'd be 38 minutes. Just go back 38 minutes to Loy's message.
I was hacked on Facebook, and I don't have access to it anymore. TechBody took over my Facebook. So all my Facebook friends are getting fake Facebook messages or messenger from whoever took over my Facebook. Don't reply to any Facebook messenger than me, from me. So, yeah, somebody is saying they're on something called an IMF list, and your name is on it. So they send you this offer. If you send them $400, you'll get $55,000. That's what they claim Loyette got.
Mm.
So that's a scam. And so Aquino sent all his personal information, his ID in that, and he should have done it, but he did it.
Oh,
now
no.
He's worried. Yeah, he totally got screwed. If it leads to a screwing situation, he made a big mistake. And he's very pissed off at Loyette for setting him up, and he's shocked that an INOT turned out to be that.
He did it. So, oh, jeez.
So Loyette is now saying that she's not a dupe. She's not complicit in the crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Phil's going to explain that to Aquino for her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, Susanna asked a good question. Way back there today. Can't seem to find it. Poor Deborah.
Yeah, I don't see a Susanna post.
Yeah, it's way back there. So, Bert, you got anything else to say?
Oh, she says, if we were never born, to what does parents refer?
Right, right.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
I was going to get that in there. So you have nothing to say, Bert?
I'm looking over Nan's transcription of August 2nd private session. I'm trying to find the spot. Didn't Ion say that when Nostradamus saw a cobweb, he saw the World Wide Web?
No, I didn't get the web. He was saying the way that the spider webs everything, it becomes connecting the dots, and he would observe Ophanel in the court and other things, and he connected the dots like a spider web.
Right.
Hey, Bob.
Bert left. He had to cut out. Okay. He had to go off, so he left early.
Okay.
So it's up to you guys to make this interesting, but we're going to go play Frank, and you don't want that.
Oh, here it is. Syndiades of the Cobweb. Syndiades of the Cobweb. But I heard John has
yes. I thought that was very good, the Nostradamus part, Bob. Because he just showed Nostradamus was a creator, nothing. And every time you use the word vision, he'd go, no. And that really helped me, because I still have these ideas of a vision. When you close your eyes and you see these pictures of the future that doesn't exist. And he cleared that all up, saying, no, he wouldn't have it in a vision. He'd look at something tangible in this world and connect the dots, because of his knowings and his connection with non-physical, and hanging out with Ophanel, same as us, sitting in vibrational proximity to Bob. And so we can see things different than other people can. But that was very good, Bob, because he's seen as some superhuman, but he was just in-tune creator, basically.
Yeah. Here's a part that says, he would see a bush. He would see a bush. He would see a bush, and he would look at the details like you ask questions, Bob. And he would get so entwined in that visual thing that words would flow out of him regarding the things he saw.
Wow.
It'd be nice to have that ability.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, okay, we're saying that he would look at the thing, a flower, a bush, a thing, and he would see it so completely that he would be able to see what you say is the future in that thing. He would write words regarding so explicit on that thing that it would now apply to right here. The sea shall fall, and the West will come, and those things that he'd come up with apply for now, because he was giving uber attention to the details of the things he was seeing his eyes led him to see. Now, you do the same thing, Bob, but you do it with the wordsmithing, word crafting. You do exactly the same. You do the exact same thing, but you use words, not use vision, pictorial visions of things that come to you. And then Bob says, yeah, I have it in my diary. When I met T.S. Eliot and James Joyce, I'd get these visions or flashes of the future. Then you go back to trying to clarify why that Jack Ruby was cloned and Jack Ruby and all that.
Yeah. you see ions changing the images you have in your mind. That's the main battle. That's preparing you to ascend. So it's almost like you have to make up crazy scenarios that are sort of, his voice makes them believable. So then you're forced to consider it. What you do on the...
Yeah, and that's more valuable than predicting any future to us, Bob. It's... like, I'm not trying to be a seer, it's trying to change us. And I see people now, on a grand scale, the thing they believe is much worse than what's happening around them, because they believe they're going to decline, their bones are going to get brittle, something's going to break, they're going to have an accident, and that's the future, and they need to prepare. I see so many people who are still perfectly fine, who's now preparing for when they break, when they fall, when they can't get up the stairs anymore. And they feel they are clever and humble because some of them have money to prepare for this inevitable slow declining death of pain and things not working anymore and you not being able to use your body anymore. And just Connie's products can change that. It's already changing that. But these people believe that. And before it's even happened to them, they are drawing it to them faster because they're now preparing for it.
Yes, Sean. And what goes through our minds and thoughts every day is how much stronger we're getting, you know, and how much.
Yes.
How much.
And wow.
Yeah.
Fuck everything else. Just that is wow.
Yeah.
To have been changed in a way that you can shift to actually not preoccupying yourself with decline all the time. Because you've, once again, we're not sitting here hoping. We've tasted that remark. It's tangible and it's real. And yeah.
Well, yeah. And I am not afraid of falling down. And I don't fall down. I feel solid in my feet. Like I'm not going to.
Yeah.
If I did, I'm not going to fall apart in that kind of a way. It's not going to be that terrible damage. Have to be careful of falling down because your bones might break. Well, I suppose it could happen, but not because my bones are aging, not because my bones are worse than they were last year. They're better than they were last year. And it's tremendous to say that now, as a boomer, as a baby boomer.
Wow. Yeah, but it is all they hear if all they're going to listen to is the media. And it's not even just the media, it's people around each other as well. They've all accepted this, well, when you get old story. We're all going to get old. Yeah. Can't do anything about that. That's just the way it is.
You're letting yourself be imposed upon.
I'm not, Bob. It is like I'm going through training 101 because I can't agree with any of them. But I just nod and say yes. I see
what it is.
If someone says their dad might fall down the stairs and go through the window, I'll say, yeah, we'll get a stair lift then because I know they'll create that scenario.
Mm.
Like the woman, that Angelina Jolie who cut off her breasts before and encourage women to do that before they even have cancer. And
then they did get Down syndrome?
They cut off their breasts. They have mastectomies before they have cancer to not get cancer. And that is that lie of it doesn't make sense. But I've heard where Aunt says that's then probably the best thing to do, because you thinking you're going to get cancer the whole time, you are going to get cancer. So, yeah, cut off those breasts. It's terrible.
I can't make out clearly what you're saying, which is always a problem. I missed key words, so I don't know what your point is. Anybody want a translator?
Sean was saying that Angelina Jolie removed her breasts before she even had cancer to encourage other people to do the same.
Yeah.
That's what she was talking about. And it really, it's like taking out a life insurance policy when you're 20, in your early 20s. You're already committing to your death. You know, you're already planning your moment of death right from that early age when you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it is hard sometimes, Bob, not to tell these people. But it was also a learning curve to know when you can tell people and when not. And that you don't have to tell everyone. Because as a Christian, I would feel God's going to punish me if I don't tell these people. But I had to learn that there's not always isn't the right time to tell them. Was very powerful as well, making their choices.
Because that's their belief. So, yes, you don't want to change everybody's belief. It's not up to you, right?
Yeah.
You're just parroting Ion.
We're frauds, Bob. We're frauds.
What'd you say? Void?
They're frauds. We're frauds.
A fraud, yeah, you're a fraud. Be a fraud here. That's what Robin picked up. What fraudulence is being expressed here?
Yeah, she expected more from Ion.
Yeah, we find out what memes are in people's heads. We upset her basic memes that she believes in.
Yeah. I would think a lot of people feel that way, that you'll have a lot of pushback when people start listening to your all your hours.
Yeah. And if they...
But we'll be behind you. We'll be behind you. Going, yay, come on, Bob.
Yeah, well, if they become the majority view, then I'll just say, well, it was meant to be that way for what we're going to do.
Yeah.
If they become the majority view, if they remain the majority view, or what do you mean if they become
view? The reaction to me in the press conference and all that becomes very... disbelieved about it, then I just say, well, that's what's supposed to happen at this point. Won't even matter if they don't believe me. Or they don't believe the press conference. Because the elites have to, the old elites will have to deny it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't give it up.
Yeah, you could immediately be the Antichrist in the media.
Yeah. Yeah, we fit Alex Jones' description of the Illuminati. We got special products. We talked to the aliens. All that stuff I heard him say a few years ago.
Yeah. The elite, the small percentage.
So I had a question about the Kowathonites. I was going through Bert's second volume, and I came across his notes on payday July 30th, 2016, with Rosanna. And So she says, actually, from the beginning, writing was to retrieve the magical formulas from Egypt and the Kabbalah and the Book of Moses. And Bob says, okay, that's a good point. And then Rosanna says, the Book of Solomon. And Bob says, so Ion was the phonetic alphabet mostly used by the merchants of Phoenicia, the Phoenician merchants. But there was a, and then Ion says, Venice. And Bob says, magical retrieval with the alphabet. And Ion says, Venice, Venice. Bob says, Venice, but were they trying to retrieve the alphabet for reasons we don't remember? And Ion says, Coathanites. So to piece that together, does that mean that the Coathanites in Venice created the phonetic alphabet? Anybody?
I don't know. I know how I feel.
I didn't hear you. What did you say, Bob?
Now you know how I feel, Gene.
Yep.
Now I'll respond.
So, does anybody know the answer to that? Did the Coathanites in Venice create the phonetic alphabet?
I don't know. There's a particular phonetic alphabet that the Greeks created. They get rid of the, they separate the vowels and consonants. That's pretty important in the McLuhan world. I don't know if Ion means that when he says alphabet. I doubt it. And the
okay.
Ion has a whole, I just, it might be in the latest private session, I find out that he means by media ecology what I mean by tetrad management. The management of the complex global membrane is what Ion calls media ecology, which is a correct term for that, but you wouldn't know he meant that till what he said recently, so you can hear that point.
Yeah, and Linda, I just say, I mean, any number of us are Coathanites. Ion has told me I'm a Coathanite. So, I mean, it could be as simple as the people who developed the phonetic alphabet of that timing, of that time, were Coathanites. Like I am, or, you know, from some original bloodline or, you know, the Coathanites are related by carriage to the reptilians or the Anunnaki. And there's new Coathanites coming in as resident aliens. And all ascending are resident aliens. So who's, you know, yeah, there's no way to answer that specifically. What, you know, what Coathanite are you talking about? Even in that, I'm going through Dan's transcription, and Bob asks, so the Pentagon aliens are Coathanites? And Ion basically says some are and some aren't. It depends.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, a lot of us are Benjamites, Ion has said. But I get your point.
But see, those are silly thoughts. If there's many Lindas, then other Lindas are other things. So stop categorizing yourself. It's silly. You're not a Benjamite.
I'm just saying what Ion said, so... I don't know.
Yeah,
what to
well,
about that.
Ion's a lot of distraction, a lot of filling in time until the Bob gets it right with the aliens. We've been waiting 10 years.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Bob's gotta understand it before we're gonna. I mean, it could be significant or it might not be. We don't know yet. We just don't know until, you know.
Yeah.